You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Happy New Year. Happy 2021 to everybody out there. It is the Gym Class coming your way on this Monday, January the 4th of 2021. Great to have you aboard with us as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Scott Unash with you from our studios. Buttons on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes to join me coming up here in just a moment. Good show coming up. Mike Colas will join us. He was present in Piscataway on Saturday for the big Iowa victory on the road against the Rutgers Scarlet Knights in Big Ten basketball, men's play. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Fiesta Bowl with Mike and more coming up on the program here in about 25 minutes or so. Text line available to you at 319-366-1600. That is 319-366-1600. That is our phone line as well. Buttons can take your phone call at 319-366-1600. Lots to talk about. The NFL playoffs are set. It is Black Monday as far as coaches are concerned in the National Football League. And, of course, Iowa State, a winner in the Fiesta Bowl over the weekend against Oregon. And as we mentioned, Iowa getting a big victory on the road against the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. And, Mark, happy new year 2021 to you.
Good afternoon, guys. The same to you. Looking forward to unpacking a truckload of stuff from the weekend. It was a busy weekend. It was a fun weekend, and anxious to get to it.
Yeah, it was a fun weekend, and it was something. No doubt about that. Whether you're wearing black and gold, or cardinal and gold, or black. Or the black uniforms, I guess, as far as the football team is concerned. I think everybody can agree it was a pretty good weekend here in the state of Iowa. Again, 319-366-1600. That is a text line available to you, 319-366-1600. And as I mentioned, Mike Colas will join us coming up here in just a little bit. And it's one of those that you don't know exactly where to start if you go with the good news for Iowa State or if you go the good news for the Iowa Hawkeyes. I guess let's go with Iowa State because, as I mentioned last week on our show before we hung up 2020 and talked about the top stories of the sports year, I thought 1A or 1B was the football season for the Iowa State Cyclones. And it actually, of course, went into 2021 just a little bit, a few hours anyway. And a great finish for Iowa State. No, it wasn't the greatest opponent to ever come down the pike in a New Year's Six, but you play who is on the other side of the field from you. And, they don't ask you that in about 50 years. But Iowa State putting the finishing touches on arguably, and I think it probably not even arguably, I think it was the most successful season in Iowa State football history.
No question about that, and this is the proper place to start. It was a historic season for Iowa State, and who would have thought that back in the season opener when Iowa State dropped a significant decision to Louisiana, but it was, plowed through the Big 12 schedule by and large, and is going to finish in the top 10 in the country in the final polls. Listen, Iowa State came prepared. Those first two drives, very long scoring drives, just set the tone. Even though Oregon responded, Iowa State's time of possession was just huge. The time of possession, the execution, the second half defense, the breaks that Iowa State got or created, it just added up to a convincing win over Oregon.
Which is a blue blood as far as college football is concerned. Was this the greatest Oregon team to come down the pike? No. I think everybody can agree as far as that is concerned. But it is still Oregon. It is still the Ducks. It is still the 195 combinations of uniforms. It's still Phil Knight. It's all that in the Pac-12. And Iowa State just did a tremendous job. And I think we can all be very proud, not only of the Cyclones, but of the fact that First catch of the day was by Landon Akers, the former Cedar Rapids, Washington product. And the defensive MVP of the game was another Cedar Rapids, Washington product in Orion Vance, as Brock Purdy took home offensive MVP honors in the game. But couldn't have scripted it a whole lot better.
No, that was kind of cool from a local aspect, to be sure. Orion Vance had a heck of a year, did not get the awards that others did on that defensive side, like Rose and Jaquan Bailey and others. But he had a heck of a game. Right spot, right time, recovered two fumbles. And, you know, those breaks were huge. Again, Iowa State created one. The muff punt was significant. Even though Iowa State didn't really cash in like it could have, it was big. So Purdy didn't have his best game statistically, but he did what he needed to do. He used his legs when he needed to. And a big run for a first down, just got it late in the game. That was big. But you just can't say enough about this Iowa State group and what it did this season.
Yeah, Breece Hall kind of wore down the Oregon defense, and the Iowa State defense, especially in the second half, and they've been doing this the last half of the regular season into the Big 12 championship game and into the bowl game down at Glendale, just not giving up points, not really even giving up a whole lot of yards as well. Jim Haycock was absolutely brilliant this year with the adjustments that he made as far as halftime is concerned. And whether it was Mike Rose, Orion Vance, Jake Hummel coming up with big plays, Greg Eisworth, you name the Cyclone, Jaquan Bailey, you name them, and they were just making play after play after play in the second half of that football game. And just Oregon did not convert a third down. They did not convert a third down. Think about that in the 2020-2021 realm of the way football is right now, what the rules are for the offense. And to throw a zero for the day up against even a team, you know, a team of the pedigree of Oregon is pretty dominating.
Yeah, for a while I thought Anthony Brown coming off the bench at quarterback, he was going to be a problem for the Cyclone defense. He gave him a spark when he first came in, but in the end he didn't make much of a difference. And I thought Iowa State pretty much neutralized the star defensive end that Oregon has. But, you know, I got it done on both sides of the ball, 34-17 win. Probably could have been even more convincing, but it didn't have to be.
No, it did not have to be. Your thoughts welcome at 319-366-1600. Iowa State fans, the good news, I guess, continued even after the ball game, as the Cyclones that could come back or elect to go to the NFL started trickling in a little bit. And started off with Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy, as most would have guessed, is going to come back for his senior season, senior campaign, no doubt about that. For everyone asking, Breece Hall has to come back. He is not eligible to go into the draft. You have to be at a college for 3 years. Breece has only been on campus for 2 years, so he will be back as well. Both tight ends are coming back. For Iowa State, Allen will be back, and Charlie Kolar will be back as well for the Cyclones. The only Cyclone player that said he is going to go into the National Football League draft was Bailey on the defensive side of things, and I don't blame him, because I think his stock is probably as high as it can be right now.
I would agree with that, and you know, I'm not surprised in the least of any of the guys that announced they were going to return. I guess I missed the news on Kolar after the game. He was kind of noncommittal, but trust your word on that. But that all bodes well for the 2021 campaign. I mean, Iowa State's going to have to fill some holes like all teams will have to do. But you return a core like that, and Purdy and Hall and Kolar and Allen and others. That just bodes. Mike Rose as well.
Mike Rose, yeah.
He'll be back. So This is a very good nucleus that Iowa State's going to have, and Oklahoma will always be there. Texas changing coaches and losing its quarterback and Sam Ehlinger, who announced he was going to go to the NFL draft. Iowa State's going to be right there again next year, I have to believe.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. And the speculation and begins on where Iowa State will finish. I think they'll probably finish eighth as far as the final poll is concerned. And a lot of people talking about next year as far as Iowa State is concerned. It's going to be interesting. And, of course, now you've gotten a lot of speculation as far as Iowa and Iowa State next year is concerned. And you don't want to put the cart ahead of the horse, but, boy, that could be a fun, fun game in Ames coming up next year. There will never be a bigger lead-in to Iowa and Iowa State coming up for next year. I will check on that 67-39, but I will check. Buttons, check on Kolar, will you please? He's doing that right now as we speak, because I thought he said after the game that he was going to come back. But we will double and triple check on that. And it kick-started a lot of Iowa State stuff for next year. I think we should just celebrate the fact that Iowa State had a very good year and won the Fiesta Bowl. Iowa had a very good year as well. Couldn't finish it as far as a bowl is concerned. But just look ahead to next year and be very, very happy that two of the better teams in the country are going to be right here in our little flyover Midwestern state next year. Where will Iowa State start the season next year? As far as rankings, some people are saying top five. I think that's probably a little optimistic because, as you know, Mark, it seems that the same teams are there every year. I guarantee you there's a real good shot, even though it's probably not, should not be the case, that Texas might be ahead of Iowa State going into next year. I doubt it, but you never know. You know Oklahoma with Rattler coming back is going to be probably top seven going into next year, but it really doesn't matter, as you have said many times, Mark, on that first poll in August of where you are. It's where you are in late October and into November and beyond that that counts.
Well, that's so true. And what I didn't like over the weekend was the bickering between Iowa and Iowa State fans debating who has the better team and this and that, back and forth. People don't even know each other out there arguing, and it's just so petty. But kind of what 5268 says on the text line, several Iowa State fans can't just sit back and enjoy this victory without poking barbs at the Iowa Hawkeyes.
And it would be the other way, too, I'm sure.
They're saying they should be 10-3 because Iowa forfeited the game. I'd love to see them play straight up tomorrow and see what happens.
Well, Iowa did not forfeit the game, so the Big Ten was kind of in helping out as far as that is concerned. So we'll see. 319-366-1600 as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour at 317 here on the Monday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. You take a look at Iowa State, the Cyclones, what they have coming back for next year. And as far as Iowa coming back next year, both these teams have a chance to be really, really big players as far as the national scene is concerned. And that is what we should be celebrating today.
Well, I think that's spot on. And I don't know who's going to be better, who's going to be worse. Hopefully they can settle it on the field whenever that game is scheduled next fall and then go into the conference seasons. I agree. Celebrate the fact that both – I think that, you know – I know there's diehard fans both sides, but I just think it's healthy when both teams are relevant.
And good.
Yeah.
And very good, as a matter of fact. So, I think it's great. I think it's fabulous out there. Of course, that was the local angle as far as college football is concerned, as Iowa State beats Oregon 34-17. You've got, of course, the national scene out there. And you've got the playoff game, the championship set for a week from tonight, as it'll be Ohio State taking on Alabama. I guess nobody was real surprised that Alabama basically took apart Notre Dame, and Alabama, ish, 7-8 point favorite in the game against the Ohio State Buckeyes. And I've never seen Ohio State be the people's choice like they were on Saturday night and after the game. Is there that much hatred for Dabo Swinney out there? Apparently there is.
Well, I think so. His ridiculous vote. And I know he tried to explain it away, voting Ohio State 11, saying they didn't play enough games. Well, pretty sure he'd vote him fairly high right now because Ohio State put a whipping on Clemson. And I think this is going to be a decent game, Ohio State and Alabama. The total on the game, if you're into that sort of thing, is through the roof, almost 80 points, 75, 80 points. But, you know, I just don't know if Justin Fields can play as well as he did against Clemson. So look forward to it a week from today.
Yeah, going to be a lot of fun. And I think Ohio State's going to show, and I think they're going to give them a game. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I obviously think Alabama is probably, around a touchdown favorite like they are. I think probably if they play 10 times, Alabama wins 7, maybe 8. But maybe this is one of those 2 or 3 that they're going to be where Ohio State would be victorious.
Yeah, that's why it's going to be interesting because, I mean, Alabama's got so many weapons. They got 3 guys going to the Heisman Trophy ceremony, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, that's saying something right there. And the wide receiver is phenomenal. The running back is phenomenal. The quarterback is just won a quarterback award today, Mac Jones. So they're very, very talented. There's no question about it. But you play one game for all the marbles, and again, we're going to see next Monday how that transpired.
Yeah, 319-366-1600. 8699 says, I'm taking Ohio State next week. They looked sharp. Is anyone upset now that Ohio State got to go to the national championship playoff?
Yeah.
Have we crossed that bridge and have not looked back? Did the Big Ten make, in retrospect, the right decision? I think they did.
Of course they did. Of course they did. Things changed since the original rules were put in place, and everybody voted to change, change the rule and allow Ohio State in the championship game. And now you see what has happened.
Mm, yeah, very much so. 319-366-1600 is you can get the your text in and let us know what is on your mind. Again, that is 319-366-1600. 8699 also adding that Indiana is probably still a little mad. Well, Indiana didn't beat Ole Miss. And I was pulling for Indiana to try to close out a great season. They did not have their number one quarterback, but they still have a very competent quarterback in there. The bowl season was wacky. I think that it's always pretty wacky, but I think it was even more wacky. 71-48, couldn't agree with you more for Iowa and Iowa State. Let's just hope the stands will be full whenever they play next year.
Well, Indiana got what it deserved. Lost one game all season, and that was to this Ohio State team we were talking about by a touchdown. With Penix at quarterback, that was a really good football team. Iowa had a nice season. But once again, it beat one team with a winning record, and that team is Wisconsin, because it won the bowl game. So, I mean, I don't want to debate that anymore. You get what you deserve, I think, and I thought Indiana deserved to be there. Actually, it kind of spoiled a wonderful bowl campaign for the Big Ten. The Big 12, I think, was unbeaten, was it not?
Yes.
A terrific season for the Big 12 as well. And I guess one last takeaway for me on the bowls is Cincinnati. I became a believer in Cincinnati, at least this team. They played Georgia off its feet. It's a very talented football team. It's stepping up next year, going to Indiana and to Notre Dame.
A lot of seniors. They lost a ton of seniors.
I'd like to see them play this that schedule this year, but that's not going to be the case. But for 1 year anyway, that was a good team, a very good team, and an entertaining bowl game. Maybe the most entertaining of all.
Yeah, 1900 on the text line. Justin Fields might be a little sore after the Clemson game. I was shocked he did as well as he did in the second half. Yeah, he got beat up in that game. There was no doubt about that. We haven't even got to Iowa Rutgers yet as far as basketball is concerned, and a few texts coming in as far as the Iowa Rutgers game is concerned. As, yes, 11:56. And I think this is getting to be a trend out there. They end it with Keegan Murray's playing time needs to continue to increase. His right place, right time plays are not an accident. Keegan Murray, the nation was introduced to him on Saturday in that game at Piscataway. No doubt about that. And 11:56 also adding, hopefully anyone who is sight impaired had the radio broadcast of the Rutgers, Ohio, Iowa game on, because just listening to the TV presentation, they would have no idea what was going on during the game. And I almost agree with that. Dan Dockich was doing it. I know Dan Dockich has a lot of haters here. I think when Dan is actually talking about the game, I think he has a lot of very good insight. But I think he tries to do his Bill Walton impression several times during the game, and I don't know if it's an ESPN edict or if it's just something they do. And then you're off the reservation. You're going, what are you talking about? out there? He went off about Fred Hoiberg in the middle of the game. It was very odd. And then, don't get me started. People love Walton. I can stand him for about 5 minutes, and then I just want to I'm yelling at the television, will you talk something about the game that's in front of you, please?
You know, I've gone back and forth with Dockich, but I kind of like him. He's very energetic about what he does. Sometimes he lays it on too thick, but he really likes this player or that player. But he goes about his job with so much enthusiasm, and he can break down a game. I've heard him break it down before.
Absolutely.
Break down plays. I enjoy Dockich.
I'm with you. I'm with you, except when he gets off on a tangent like he
did.
Right. Which gets a little bit annoying. But like I said, I'm not sure if that is something that the folks at ESPN have told them to do or whatever the case may be. Keegan Murray was terrific. Aaron Euless, first Big Ten action, came in. Gave Iowa some very good minutes as far as the game is concerned. Tony Perkins got in, the young freshman from Lawrence North in Indianapolis, when C.J. Frederick got into some foul trouble and didn't do anything spectacular, but didn't hurt the team when he was in there. And tell you what, Fran went with the five basically for the last 12, 15 minutes of that basketball game. He was a little angry with Jack Nungy at the beginning for a few things he did wrong. We'll talk more about this with Michael Oss coming up in about 5 minutes. But, there were five, maybe one off the bench occasionally that came in for Iowa in that last 15 minutes. Otherwise, that was the stuck lineup that Fran McCaffrey chose to go with.
Yeah, but I think at the end, Euless and Keegan or Murray were both on the floor when Rutgers tried in the last 3 seconds to tie it or win it. But I think by and large, you're right. Keegan Murray played a lot of minutes. But the old graybeards like Garza and Bohannon and those guys were played a big part in that game. And, man, that was entertaining as well. And you make a great point about Euless, who hasn't had any meaningful playing time in a month, and comes off the bench, played significant minutes in his production in both halves. I think he ended up with 4 assists.
Yeah.
And didn't commit a turnover. And that was impressive. And I think it underscores once again the depth of this Iowa basketball team.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. I know what I did wrong now. I got Mike Rose and Charlie Kolar mixed up. Thank you, Buttons. Kolar has not made his intentions known. Mike Rose is coming back, as you mentioned, so for Iowa State. Big Ten basketball is a meat grinder, 8699 says. Yes, it is. And 0170, I don't know what Jason Benetti did to deserve both Walton and Dokic, but he has his hands full every game. Because Jason is a guy, he's the straight man as far as the guys with the one-liners are concerned. And he does that about as well as anybody on the ESPN roster is concerned. There's a reason why he's usually with one of those two guys.
Yeah, and he does a nice job.
He does.
I thought he did a nice job. But, to be paired with either of those two guys would be a trip, wouldn't
it? A big one. A big one. 319-366-1600. But Iowa gets a victory with only one loss now as far as the Big Ten. Any road win is so precious in this conference this year. What, I don't care what you're talking about, any conference in any season, but especially as far as the Big Ten is concerned this year, it is just gold, and you just have to cling to it. And man, they aren't going to be very often. They're going to be few and far between, especially at a place like Rutgers. Illinois went to Rutgers and lost. Keep that in mind. 59-29, we'll talk about this. The zone defense will be the downfall of the season. Can't play zone against top teams and leave guys wide open on the perimeter. Still a good win, though. I thought the defense was better in the second half. The first half, zone left a little bit to be desired. Keegan Murray did a heck of a job when he was guarding one-on-one Ronnie Harper Jr. A freshman against a man like Ron Harper Jr. is. Keegan Murray did a really good job.
He did, and he fought for 50-50 balls, and that was big in the closing stretches when he got to the free throw line and nailed down a couple. You can't say enough good things about what Keegan Murray is doing right now. As far as the Big Ten, of course it's a meat grinder. I mean, right now you got every team except Michigan has lost in league play at this early juncture, about a quarter of the way into the conference campaign. And you've got Michigan at 4-0, Illinois, Iowa, and Wisconsin all with one loss. And then you got a mixture of teams with two or three, right on down to Nebraska, which is 0-4. So meat grinder is a good way to describe it.
Yeah, it is. And it's not going to get any easier, no doubt about that. 3:31. We're going to take a break, come back, and Mike Halas, Gazette sports columnist, will join us. He was in Piscataway on Saturday for Iowa and Rutgers. We'll talk about that in depth, and we'll talk about Iowa State's Fiesta Bowl win as well. It is a Monday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. A happy new year to everybody out there. Appreciate you tuning in, 1600 AM, as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, as well as KGYM Radio Stream, your mobile app, and your smart speaker out there. We'll take a break. Come back with more after this on KGYM.
You already know Network Computer Solutions protects your network and computers, but did you know they can also protect your business with a security system? NCS offers everything: camera systems, door access, key fob entrance cards, even 24-hour video surveillance. They understand how important security is to your work and your people, so they customize every element for you. For a free consultation and site review, call NCS at 247-7223. 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT and security puzzle.
BetMGM Sports is coming soon to Iowa. That's right, the same folks that light up the Las Vegas Strip with the world's greatest sportsbooks and casinos will be offering real money wagering on a state-of-the-art app that's easy to use and features all of your favorite sports. Find out why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks with parlay bonus payouts, in-game wagering, boosted odds specials, daily promotions, and much more. Plus, every time you make a wager, you'll earn credits in M Life Rewards, the exclusive loyalty program of MGM Resorts. Now every game and every play will mean something more, no matter what your favorite sport is. It's almost showtime, so get ready to experience sports like never before. Be among the first fans in the state to download the BetMGM Sports app. Coming soon to Iowa. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older. Iowa only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problems? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
Getting the most for your money can help you relax. With power checking from Midwest One Bank, you may earn higher interest and ATM fee refunds by simply receiving electronic statements, making at least 15 debit card purchases that post and clear, and making at least one direct deposit, automatic debit from a third party, or bill pay transaction post and clear each qualification cycle. See MidwestOne.bank for details. Enjoy simply better banking from Midwest One Bank. Member FDIC.
Look alive, Coach. Are you ready for next season? If you're thinking about coaching K-12 school-sponsored athletics, add getting your Iowa coaching authorization from Kirkwood Continuing Education to your game plan. Kirkwood state-approved, fully online classes are happening right now. Sign up and begin your online course anytime, anywhere, and get on track to reach your goals. Visit kirkwood.edu/coaching to get into the game.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
3:35, back with you on the Gym Class in KGYM as we're going to talk with Mike Halas coming up here in just a moment. Want to remind you, tune in for Coach's Cuts on Tuesdays. And that, of course, is brought to you by Computer Network Solutions online at ncsei.com. Network Computer Solutions, they're the missing piece to your IT puzzle. Scott and Mark with you. Buttons on the other side of the glass as we take it through the Monday edition of the show. Coming up tomorrow, we'll talk some wrestling with Wyatt Schultz. We'll talk high school wrestling with you. And then on Wednesday, Mark, I wish I had a dollar for every time I've had this question presented to me. Ladies and gentlemen, he is back on Wednesday. Mark Ironside will join us. And we will talk with Mark about college wrestling because it is up and running. Iowa State and Wartburg wrestling yesterday in Ames. Iowa State with a pretty good victory over the Wartburg Knights at Hilton Coliseum yesterday. So we'll talk some college wrestling coming up on Wednesday, and that's a good sign.
Yeah, the Iowa schedule out since we last talked, and it's a conference-only schedule. We'll visit with Mark about that, among other things.
Indeed. Mike Halas set to join us right now. You can read his stuff at thegazette.com. We highly encourage you to do so. Give him a follow as well on Twitter, at Halas, because you can find out great stuff like great food items in the state of New Jersey that he sampled over the weekend. They do have good food in New Jersey on the East Coast, don't they, Mike?
I love it. I love it. Although the thing is, right now, it was all delivered to my hotel, so it doesn't stay warm real long. So you got to eat fast, and that's not good for you.
Yeah, just first world problems and things like that. We can overcome those.
Exactly. No complaints. No. If you haven't been to New Jersey in January, you're really missing something.
Yeah, not only the food, but you saw one whale of a Big Ten basketball game on Saturday. That thing was a lot of fun.
It was. It was a great game. I think that it was the game of the year so far involving Iowa. The Minnesota game was certainly had a lot of story to it, but you couldn't say it was great basketball. This, I thought, was. I mean, both teams just came at it for 40 minutes, and it was a one possession game the last 9 or 10 minutes of the game. I think nobody was up by more than 3 points. So it was one of those deals where Iowa could so easily have lost, and we'd probably be talking about them differently than we are today, but they didn't lose, and it sort of speaks volumes about them that they didn't.
Yeah, Mike, Iowa overcame adversity in that game, as you well know. Wieskamp was largely silent, in my opinion, and, you know, Nunji, after a very good first half, you know, went away the second half. In comes Keegan Murray, and then Joe Toussaint gets poked in the eye, and Euless comes off the bench. Perkins for a little bit as well, but...
And Connor. Connor just, getting hurt.
Yeah, Connor McCaffrey getting hurt as well, so... That was a big takeaway for me, overcoming adversity.
Exactly. I mean, it was one of those deals where it's a cliche in sports, but you had to get tough because you were playing a team that's tough. And that's a good team. I mean, if you watch the game, you probably don't need me telling you this. But Rutgers is a really good team. I mean, I think they're one of the 10 or 12 best teams in the country. And I think that they'll bear that out as the season goes along. They're a veteran team. They're hard-nosed. They play terrific defense. They've got scorers. It all makes it such a good win to go away from home and do that. And the biggest reason, I shouldn't say the biggest, but a big reason was the one you just described, were those two freshmen, Murray and Euless. Euless had a plus-minus of +8, which doesn't sound like a huge number, but it was the biggest number of any player in the game. The Hawkeyes were 8 points better than the opposition when he was on the court. This is a guy who hadn't played a second in a Big Ten game, a freshman who came out and took care of business and didn't hurt him and only helped him, had 4 assists. And Murray was just tremendous. You know, he plays the last 18 and a half minutes of the game, and they put him on Ron Harper Jr. for that whole time, and he stymied Harper. Harper's a guy who in two previous games against Iowa averaged, I believe, 28 points, and he'd been one of the top 10 scorers in America.
The dude's a man.
He is. Oh, I know. You think to yourself, you hear about a guy like that, well, he's got to be sleek, and then you see him, and it's like, he's a tank, but offensively he's sleek. Don't get me wrong, but he's built, and Murray did a fantastic job on him. You look at Murray's line scoring; that's all you really think you need to know. But how Murray defended, to me, was the story of the game.
True, very true. And 57-31 on the text line, weighing in with this. I thought when Euless and Perkins were in the game, the defense was better. What'd you think?
Maybe. I thought Iowa's defense was good. It wasn't great, but it's hard to be great against a team that has 5 guys on the court who can score. And Rutgers does. I mean, all 5 of their starters had at least 13, and they're 5 good players. I mean, Baker was a preseason All Big Ten player, and Mathis. You know, he had 25 the previous game against Purdue. He's, I mean, really a good player. And then there's Harper. And so Jacob Young at 17. Jacob Young's terrific. So Iowa's defense was as good as you could reasonably ask for. Iowa outshot Rutgers from the field and had a slight rebounding advantage against a good rebounding team. More turnovers than they would have liked. But at the same time, Iowa got an awful lot of second shots. So I think that sort of negates the other. And then you've got Garza, who's, you know, just on a different level. He only had 11 shots in this game. And you think if you can only get 11 shots out of Garza, you're in trouble. Well, it didn't help him. But he turns those 11 shots into 25 points, and he gets, I think, 15 of those points in the last 9 minutes. The longer the game goes, the more he wears teams out. I don't care how suffocating they are. Those last 10 minutes, it's like, oh, all of a sudden your big guys have foul troubles, or your big guy or your opponent is over the foul limit. And that's what happened. Garza was bottled up pretty well for 30, 32 minutes, but we're taking him for granted. He scored 25 points.
Mm-hmm.
Any other Iowa player scores 25 points in a game, it's headlines. Any player scores 25 points in a game, it's headlines. That's a lot of points in a college game. But when he does it, we sort of shrug as if it's expected. And after these games, it doesn't seem to matter where you go. It's interesting to hear the comments of the opposing coach and players who just say, you know, he's great. And it doesn't matter who it is. I suppose in Los Angeles, they got used to Kobe Bryant and, you know, LeBron James. But the fact is that you do that game after game after game. I mean, he's scoring 3.5 points more a game than anybody else in America.
Crazy.
Yeah, it is. It really is. So sometimes you just have to stop, look back and say, this is pretty good.
Mike, looking ahead, a trip to Maryland in a midweek game, I think, on Thursday. And then you get 4 out of the next 5 at home. And I realize there's no easy outs, save maybe Nebraska, but no easy outs. As one of our texters said, it's a meat grinder. But you go to Maryland, pick up a victory, and get 4 out of the next 5 at home and a chance to protect your home floor. That could bode very well.
Sure, but the thing is you got, you know, first win at Maryland. And Maryland is one of the lesser Big Ten teams so far this year. They're 1-3, and they're at Indiana tonight. They got rated by the NBA, I think, one too many years in a row. And they just don't have the number of scorers that they've had in the past. Last year, I mean, they shared the Big Ten title last year. So things have finally caught up to them. And at the same time, you're going back out east making that trip, and if you don't bring it, they'll get you.
Yep.
They've got enough talent to do that. But then, you know, if you do win that game, you come home, and you come home to the arena that, you know, no fans, it doesn't matter. They've soundly beaten every team they've played in Carver. And that includes Purdue, and that includes Northwestern, which came in ranked. So, yeah, I mean, this game Thursday to me is a chance. It's a real launching pad. I think last Saturday was the launching pad. But if you don't let your foot off the gas Thursday and win another road game, beat Maryland, then I think you're setting yourself up to get a little distance between yourself and some of the teams in this league.
Jordan Bohannon, we've seen what he can do for the last 9 years. Basically around here. We know he can turn it on. And he was motivated, he said that, after the last game by a meeting with Coach McCaffrey. Continued it at Piscataway with some big bombs in that game. None bigger than the one at his last one, I believe, that put Iowa up. When he just pulled up 4 or 5 feet behind the line and just drained it. But he's just playing tremendous basketball, and he had a great feed to the post as well.
Mm-hmm.
That led to a big basket for Luka Garza down low in the last couple minutes as well.
Yeah. He hadn't looked like his old self this season for the most part until the last 2 games. To me, his body language hadn't been all that great during games. It was like, I saw it in the Gonzaga game as he went to the sideline. It was like, I'm just not getting it done. And, you know, there's 2 ways you can go, and he chose to fight out of it. And I think he's something like 9 out of 14 the last 2 games from 3-point and making shots like the Bohannon of, you know, 2017,
18, 19. Yeah.
They need it. I mean, I don't care how many players are in the rotation or how many players on their roster can play at this level. You need every single one of them, and you especially need your money guys, because there are going to be nights when maybe almost everybody else isn't getting it done. And you mentioned the Wieskamp Saturday. Well, Wieskamp didn't have a typical Wieskamp game, and Frederick, after some two big games in a row, he played all right, but he wasn't giving them the 15, 18 points. They needed it from somebody else besides Garza and Murray, and Bohannon gave it to them.
Coincidence being what it was, on Saturday, Iowa State played the biggest game in school history, right as you were writing your column and game story and whatnot. I don't really know how much of that you got to see. Maybe perhaps looked at it later, but right from the start, Iowa State set the tone, two long scoring drives. The defense brought it in the second half. Iowa State got breaks and put a capper on what your headline writer said, one for the books.
Yeah, I didn't get back to my hotel till the last 6 minutes of the game. The game was decided by then, obviously. Got to see the post game, which I kind of wanted to, and I thought that was a nice deal for the program, the things Campbell said and Brock Purdy.
And Orion Vance.
Yes, yes. And then I did watch it last night at home, what I hadn't seen before. And I was struck with the efficiency. I mean, first two drives, it's, you know, that looked like a pretty polished offense to me. And then in the second half, the defense was great. And that's not a new thing for the Cyclones. I mean, they shut out Oregon in the second half. That's a good offense. And then, I mean, they held Oklahoma to 3 points in the second half in Arlington. Gave up too much in the first half, obviously, but whatever those infamous halftime adjustments are that John Haycock makes, they're good ones. They did the same thing at Texas. They shut down Texas in the second half.
Yep.
So that's the sign of a winner. And then what just, I think, really made an impression on Golic and the play-by-play man was a Dave Pasch.
Yes.
Is how many, and I heard, and Golic said this, is how many pros they've got on their team and that they're starting to pump out now. This is something Iowa State's never done in all the time that we've been watching them, you know, the last however many decades. They just don't have a lot of guys in the NFL. Well, I mean, there were NFL guys all over the field for the Cyclones. If I started naming them now, it would take a chunk of this show. But the best piece of the news, maybe, for Iowa State, besides winning the game, winning a New Year's Six Bowl for the first time, is how many of those guys are going to be back. Another one today just announced, offensive lineman Sean Foster, who started a tackle for him.
Yeah,
he's a senior. He's coming back. He wants one more year of this. Chase Allen didn't have to come back. Excellent tight end. He's coming back. Wants another year of it. This tells you something. When guys who've been they've been going at this every day, Campbell said, since May. The mental duress of that, I can't imagine it. And right after the season's over and they're decompressing, and in some of these guys' cases, it was immediately after the game, they said, I want more. That's a real good sign over there, real good sign. And when you've got Hall and Purdy and Rose, and I can name after name again, you know, Will McDonald, I think, is sensational. Asheem Young is a safety who could be an All-America player sooner than later. He's got players, Campbell does. And, Oklahoma's got a lot coming back, too, including a pretty good quarterback. But I think you might be seeing the same matchup in the Big 12 title game next year as you did this year.
Yeah, I'm with you. And Oklahoma's got most everybody back. It's going to depend. You know, you got guys like Eisworth. He has a chance to come back. He hasn't said anything yet, I don't believe. But
I think you're going to have to say Jaquan Bailey's not coming back. Can't see Eisworth. And you don't. I mean, they're seniors. It's you know, if you're not going to get the money, it's one thing. But they're going to get the money.
Yeah. No, I agree.
But you're not a good college football team if you're not losing guys.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have seniors in place, who are productive, and if you don't have juniors who just can't afford to stay. So it's a good thing when you're losing some players to the NFL. The thing is, the Cyclones could have been losing more, and they've got guys who want to be, who want one more go around, who think that there's bigger, you know, bigger prizes to pluck.
I'll say this, Mike. Iowa State may have played the biggest part in Tom Herman being let go at Texas more than anything else, even losing to Oklahoma, because now I think the Texas folks are saying that Iowa State has passed them in the pecking order as far as the Big 12 is concerned with Matt Campbell. And I think
his firing was ridiculous. Come on.
I'm aware. Yeah. I'm aware. But I think that has a lot to do with it.
Oh, yeah. And down there, I mean, I think Jamie Pollard has the total reins of the program in Iowa State. In Texas, the athletic director can be a figurehead. It's people with a lot of, with deep, deep pockets who think they know it all. And it's a lot of them. And, you know, to me, it's like the answer to the Dallas Cowboys, where Jerry Jones has all the money in the world, just not quite all the football acumen, you know. And no matter what he does, it doesn't really get the job done. And that seems to be the rut that Texas is in. Iowa State identified a coach who wasn't a Sarkisian or a Tom Herman or, you know, the brand of the year, the brand of the month. They went after a guy who was perfect for their place and who was a builder from the ground floor, as opposed to inheriting a five-star resort. And Campbell has now built that thing into something where it's nurturing now more than it is growing. They've done the growing. Now it's time to start enjoying the fruits of that. Their recruiting is better and gets a little bit better all the time. And you see it on the field.
Very true. Very true.
Just a footnote on Iowa State. Buttons' research reveals that Charlie Kolar was noncommittal after the game. So there could be another one back in the fold.
Yeah, I guess. But, boy, I can't. I mean, I think he's – if I'm missing something, if that guy's not an NFL player right now.
Agreed.
The size, the hands, the routes he runs. He's one of those, you know, I'm not saying he's going to have the career George Kittle had, but to me, in a lot of ways, he reminds me of Kittle.
Yeah, true. Bottom line is, be happy about Iowa, be happy about Iowa State, and by God, if people are in the stands and there's football next September, bat down the hatches in this state for a week.
Yeah. Well...
because it's going to be, it could be fun.
Given the bleakness of the winter here and the long off season, it'll be something to talk about and for some people dream about for many months.
Yeah, and talk about. There's no shortage of talking about it in the next few months.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, I've had as much mixed feelings about all of this as anybody, but career-wise and just for my state of mind, it's selfishly, it's been a great thing to have some actual stories to write about.
Yeah, indeed. Mike, appreciate it. As always, keep up the great work. We'll talk again next Monday.
All right.
Mike Halas, read his stuff at thegazette.com. Give him a follow on Twitter, @Halas. Joins us on Mondays here on the Gym Class on KGYM. As got about a minute, just a little bit over a minute remaining here in the program, Mark. And Cyclone Coaches Show comes up tonight at 6:30 on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM. You will not probably be getting together with Cajun Troy, but she is not optimistic about the Saints' chances in the playoffs. Now, you're probably going to say you're not optimistic about the Bears' chances when they play on Sunday.
I have replied to Troy, and I know I'm not optimistic.
Somebody's got to win.
Give me a reason for optimism.
Give Nickelodeon a good game. I don't know how that's working on. We will have that game for you right here on KGYM. We'll have the Super Wild Card Weekend coming up for you. Program note before we let you go. Tomorrow night, we will have Jeff and Kennedy, the girl-boy doubleheader. That's going to be on 107.5 FM and now on 106.3 FM. We had to drop our game tomorrow night, and we'll be back with you with the South coverage on Friday, but we'll not be able to have that for you, the Liberty City High doubleheader tomorrow night for you. So make that notation. Mark, we will talk tomorrow.
Talk to you then, Scott.
Stay tuned. Todd and Alex next.
This is Alex Kuhn from KGYM. How many times have you been watching football and wanted to bet the game on your phone? Well, guess what? Now we can, because FanDuel Sportsbook is officially live in Iowa, and now you can register straight from your phone. To celebrate, they're kicking things off in a big way. FanDuel is giving new users their first bet risk-free. That's right, you'll get up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win.